From talking about E3, and this is the Planet Podcast, and we are here with the guys from Geeks On.
No, you're not.
Hello again, my geek things.
Round two. Ding, ding.
I first became aware of you guys about 2 years ago. I believe that was that. Yeah, it was about that. When I just got turned on to you guys, but yeah.
Stop.
You're so...
How did you find it? Was it like a...
iTunes.
Search? Okay, so it was iTunes.
I was looking for podcasts about gaming.
Did you find... So you were before or after Joss Whedon?
It was before Joss Whedon.
Before Joss Whedon.
Before Joss Whedon.
So you did video game search?
I did... No, not video game search. Dungeon and Dragon search.
I was gonna say we're down on the list on video game searches because there's so many, but we're at the very top of board game searches.
The reason why I wanted to look into you guys a podcast about
Aaron
that.
Aaron is taking credit for that in his little.
Trying to figure out how to get up to the top more and more. So I was trying to name them different ways in the search thing, and I think I got it.
The reason why I found your podcast was because I'd grown up in an area where board game type people, D&D type people, give me this one.
Those people.
No, I'm not saying those people. I'm saying the people who played it typically.
What do you mean, though? What do you mean, you people?
How dare you?
What do you mean, you people?
The people who typically played it were gun-toting conservative Republican types who thought for the overtake of, you know, the colored people.
Where really? Was this?
This was in Maryland. We're below the Mason-Dixon line, even though I don't want to think it, but it was very common. You'd have a lot of rednecks wearing...
the colored people.
Being a colored person.
No. He says that was their view.
That was their perspective.
He's not.
I'm putting a view without saying derogatory terms.
His earrings, what? Like putting Vaseline in his eyebrows.
Oh,
here.
No, you didn't. Oh, it's on now.
I'll cut you.
I swear to God.
But it was very hard to get into it because it was very difficult to get into that the scene because a lot of the people who were in it in my area were the antithesis of my liberal progressive viewpoints.
So seriously, you're saying liberals were not playing role playing games and
in my area the people who were that way were very much
players.
Conservative and women should stay in the kitchen.
I'm trying to picture a bunch of like militia guys sitting around playing Settlers of Catan and I'm having a really hard time.
Were they playing war games?
No, they were playing Dungeons and Dragons.
D&D.
Really? These are the same people playing Darkon, going to Ren Faire.
Don and I can totally see this in the Northeast. Can she like playing the no. If we're gonna do the attack on Peenemünde.
Okay,
you gotta move four hexes because that doesn't count. He doesn't have that kind of range. I can see that.
Yeah, I see them more with the Warhammer guys though.
But I have a little bit of a hard time with
Warhammer.
That
Gamers Workshops were all over the place.
Yeah, Games Workshop. Yeah.
But a lot of it was people who were very much NASCAR shirt wearing. You know, yeah.
Not that
I'm a member of the military.
Not that I'm saying Games Workshop is the choice of racists or that you know.
You're not
saying that. That it was that they were conservative. You're saying it was that they were uber conservative beyond right.
Like a lot of the ones that I've met recently again are now Tea Party members.
See, now this is one of the things that fascinates me. Mm-hmm. Like what I'm of the vein where I just sort of assumed that if you read fantasy literature, if you played these games, you know, if you played Dungeons and Dragons,
you were an evolved sense.
Yeah, you. Well, I'm trying not to sound myself superior.
Come on, Colin. Let's be serious.
Liberal thinking.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And when we started doing Geeks On, much to our surprise, we started getting fan mail.
Lots and lots of fan mail from conservative listeners.
Conservatives. We have more sort of fundamentalist Christian listeners.
I don't agree with you.
Well,
but it's funny
that you're connecting gun-toting NASCAR people with.
But the thing is,
religious.
But the thing is,
no. But I thought you just said conservative. I didn't know you said fundamentalist.
Religious fundamentalist.
But the thing is, that's what I ran into. And while growing up, I wanted to get into it, but it's like, I would be beaten up because I didn't vote, like, my parents didn't vote Reagan.
Wow. The big bad board gamers would beat you up.
Yeah. So I stick to my
hacker. The world's gone.
I stick to my hacker community and I enjoy it.
Where the hell did you live, man?
That's the problem with Middle Earth these days. All these young human girls having sex with these elven boys have those children running around.
It is interesting that you bring this up because I just read an article the other day saying that a lot of white supremacist groups hold up the Lord of the Rings trilogy as being a parable for the white supremacy movement.
Yes. Okay, you know? That is so bizarre because the reason why Lord of the Rings became really popular in the United States in the 60s is because the hippies were ones who were reading it, and that's how it got popular in the United States.
Well, that's one of the great things about science fiction and fantasy is that you read in your own experience to the story, and it speaks differently to each of us.
Right, but if you watch the movie, Aaron, which is probably a lot of the more recent dissemination of it, it is really white versus black. I mean, down to even the humans on Sauron's side are swarthy. Egyptian and swarthy and... You know, they're wearing
And you're counting elves as humans?
Yeah, elves are all white, man.
Elves are Aryan.
I'm saying white versus black.
I mean, all I gotta say is Legolas. He's got some, you know, pretty blue eyes, and
that all science fiction.
That and the 300 were like, let's go.
All science fiction
beat
on
the dark folk.
Well, I mean, Star Trek.
Star Trek was different, though.
Star Trek was the first United Colors of Benetton.
You're right.
Yeah.
But in general, science fiction...
What are you talking about? He has black on the right side.
Yeah. No, you're right. But science fiction in general has been white boy type of...
Well, it depends. No. Like, when you move into the modern era, there's a lot more kind of cultural diversity. Like, again, I mean, Babylon 5 fanboy, hi, how you doing? You have the entire story of Israel. In Babylon 5. It's like front row center. You know, it's Star Trek, X-Men is the minority experience.
It's the civil rights movement. Exactly. I mean, like, I remember growing up and a teacher of mine teaching us the civil rights movement by saying, here's Professor Xavier. Now picture them with darker skin.
So I gotta ask.
Yeah, but there are no darker skin X-Men.
Beast!
He's blue.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Where's a good black X-Men?
They added Bishop later on. Yes. It was just lame.
We got off track.
I'm curious how you got from seeing this geekism, this geek society as being
what you perceived geekism to be.
Right.
That's
right wing supremacist.
I knew there was hope that there was a better place. And
so what made you reach out?
I wanted to get into it because I'm a damn geek, and I wanted to express my further geekitude.
People were taking your geekism from you.
It's like
you wanted to reclaim
it.
Sing it, brother.
It's like,
geek is not an insult.
But it was. I mean, the big thing was like I really became a fan of you guys because of. Well, first of all, you guys are such a diverse group of people. I started realizing
Don alone is a diverse group of people.
Like, how many personalities are there in there, Don?
Not even that. You can just, like, you know, Don, you can check the other box on any form. Yeah. Okay, what is it? You're Jewish?
I'm half Hawaiian, half Icelandic, adopted by a French, Russian, Jewish man from New Jersey and a Mayan, Latina, Roman Catholic immigrant from Guatemala.
Yeah.
He's practiced that, hasn't he?
Rolls off the tongue.
But what was really interesting is just... I think you guys, I mean, I knew a lot of, like, looking at Hollywood, just, there was a whole lot of stuff that you guys brought to the table as a podcast that were, like, a critique on entertainment industry, video game industry, being a writer, you know, graphic design, and your all different viewpoints of being all gamers, understanding that there are entire, like, basically Hollywood is run by geeks now.
Yeah.
Yes. If you're going to be a writer, what do you do when you can't afford to go and do fun stuff? You go play D&D now. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I had known that the people were like that. And I think it was really, you know...
That's the cornerstone of our podcast. That is the cornerstone of our cachet, is, hey, you didn't realize you were one of us, but you're one of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of my favorites is, we did a couple episodes where, like, you know, the wives and girlfriends sat in and talked about what it's like living with a geek. Our geek listeners got their girlfriends to listen to it. And then those girlfriends started becoming fans.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And those girlfriends started getting their friends to listen to. It was the weirdest, yes. like, viral spread. It was yes. sort of,
it's yes. like, it's, but I think, it spreads like a virus.
I think it's interesting, you know, that, you know, our original idea was we like to sit around and talk geek to each other, and we have these conversations day and night, and we said, why don't we just put it on, you know, put it on the internet, and we'll just have this conversation in front of people. And what ended up was the cornerstone is that I think we started getting these emails about how people were could come out of the geek closet because right. they felt like since we were openly talking about it, and I think we
it was
have
okay,
and we also have balance in our lives. I think when it yeah. comes to geek and just living
yeah.
a normal life, mm-hmm. that it isn't we aren't necessarily the Hollywood stereotypical geek where you have the kid living in the basement and the jolt cans everywhere, and that, you know.
You're all very very pretty men.
Right. But I think that stereotype
you have other
existed.
Reasons for getting us on this podcast, huh?
I don't know what you're talking about. I have a girlfriend, sir.
I think that stereotype existed for a reason, and that reason is starting to fade away.
Are you coming on to me, Peter?
That's why his hand is on your
vice
leg, Patrick.
The other side of that.
The reason for that stereotype is fading away because people are reclaiming the name of geek.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Being a geek no longer is something that ostracizes you. Reading a comic book is actually sort of mainstream. You know, girls do it now.
Yeah.
Video game is nothing geek about video games anymore.
Yeah.
So
I mean, like,
although I find it really funny because there are still people who I run into who like to claim video games as being geeky.
Yeah.
You know, especially women, but.
Yeah.
You know, they sort of go, oh God, and I can't stand that.
Well, I think it's, with that with video games in particular, when I look at it as a geek platform, I see it as geek because geekism is about internalizing what you're thinking about. It's about being focused on a specific object that doesn't necessarily get you out of your house sometimes, or gets you within a group of people who are, like, say you're at a convention, you're within a group of the mass horde who are all thinking one thought, like
yeah.
geek.
Well,
and so
you
can actually see that at work
way.
At a
right.
Twilight screening. Like, all the 14-year-old girls just sync up.
Or 40-year-old moms.
Well, I would define geek a different way. For me, and we've talked about this a lot, but geek is an obsession
yeah.
with something
mm-hmm.
you know that goes a little bit beyond just you know normal casual interaction.
Yes.
So,
but I also think, in addition to that, it's that that isn't normally accepted in the culture around you.
Right, but that's
like
becoming
but
that's becoming much more shady. I mean, you
but
can be a
geek.
You can be a geek about anything.
Yeah.
But I think like
is just
people don't go, "Oh, that guy's a total sports geek."
No, right. I've seen
no,
people
they
get
do. They absolutely
get
do. They say that guy's a coffee.
All
geek.
I gotta say is Raiders fans.
You know, I know, but it's
yeah.
not the same.
You know,
thing.
Yeah.
You don't look at a guy who comes into work with wearing his football jersey and go, "That's a total geek."
Hello.
No.
If somebody in Wisconsin, someone shows up with a big slice of cheese on their head to the office. People are going to say things.
Yeah, come on.
No, I'm not saying they're not going to say things. They're not going to call him a geek.
Yeah, they will.
I
actually think that Aaron has a point, which is to say that
I'm really into wine. People are going to go, total
well,
geek.
Well, I think when it comes to sports, the level that you have to go to get to being a geek
yeah.
is a little bit more extreme.
Yeah.
Like a sports
I'll
geek,
wear Mike.
A sports geek is someone who can tell you that, like, in the 1952 game.
Exactly.
Between blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. You know, like.
Borderline Asperger's.
Right. Well, yeah. well just.
Not necessarily.
Not even that. It's not even Asperger's. It's just that they know so much more knowledge. It's just that in terms of sports, you expect people to have a broader knowledge already. So you have to, in order to get to that beyond normal,
inside baseball,
it's way beyond.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know?
It's sort of like everybody likes breathing air. But then there's somebody who really likes breathing air.
It's like, I can tell the difference between air in the Alpines versus air in, like,
yeah.
the Vampire.
Or goes to the oxygen bars.
Yeah, but what you're saying, Aaron, that you sort of...
Like, for example, I can play Dungeons & Dragons just a couple times a year, and I'm a big geek for it.
Right, that's true. Because,
or
you, still, because
play,
you still believe...
Or I can go play softball a couple times a year, and guess what? I'm not a geek.
Right, that's true.
Because...
But that's... But again, it's because...
Because society around us has decided that it's less common.
Yeah.
And less acceptable.
But there's,
right.
there's two aspects to that. First of all, it's the field that you're in, you know? And second of all, it's the degree to which your knowledge or your obsession...
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, and there's certain things that were that way are now no longer that way. I mean, it used to be you could buy a bunch of comics twice a year and you were a big geek.
Right.
And now,
I mean, you can mention, for example, in Korea, for example, with StarCraft.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, here in America, if you're playing it for tournament play, you're a loser. You're a big geek and a loser somewhat. But if you're over in Korea, you're being broadcast on television and winning prizes of over $100,000.
Exactly. Yeah, every time.
Like, they just recently had a scandal there, professional players who were, like, throwing games.
Pete Rose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you're dropping dead in cafes.
But the point of what we were trying to do with the podcast is reclaiming the word of geek.
Yes.
Now, we're proud of our geekisms. Yeah. So.
Now, to talk about your podcast, though, we have to talk about you guys.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I have to ask, how did you guys meet to begin with? I mean, like, what was the story? Like, when was back in the 90s, you're wearing your overall jumpsuits and, you know, like, coming with your back and stuff?
The answer is Matt. I mean, Matt is, you know...
Matt's the butterfly geek.
Yeah, I could be dropped into a desert and I would find five friends.
So you're the black lion.
I collect people and no matter where I go, I've found people who I absolutely love, adore.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete loves to say that, you know, there's always somebody who knew who I adore the next week, you know, but I constantly am sort of widening my circle and we just happened to meet and in various different places. Aaron and I met at a wedding. Don and I met through another friend of mine from college. Pete and I met in absolutely this weird experience.
Yeah, it was really weird because Matt was friends with my wife back in college. Mm-hmm. And literally like a couple weeks before our wedding, came to say hi.
Yeah, because I was in a show with someone else who said, hey, do you know so-and-so from NYU? Which is like, NYU is a school of 32,000 people in the undergrad. There's no way you know that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, of course. Yeah, I do know her.
And Matt came in and hung out for an evening, and I went over and pulled my wife off the side and was like, I know this is kind of really weird, but I kind of feel like he's going to be like a really good friend at some point. Can I invite him to the wedding?
Yeah, so I went to his wedding 5 days after I met him.
Yeah.
Which was, and took pictures.
I also think it's safe to say that when Aaron and I met, when Peter and I met, and when Aaron and Peter met,
instinct.
There's a weird click, you know, and we just sort of knew, you know.
We knew each other another life.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're saying it was karmic kismet that brought you all together.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, but the funny part is, like, we actually don't think alike. You know?
At all. No.
No. And we, like, throw any subject at us, and you're going to find probably two people on one side of it, two people on
which
the other.
Which I think makes the podcast interesting that we can... Well, even we argue about the word geek. I mean, when you listen to our podcast, it's not like we're just rolling along and agreeing with each other. Sometimes we tear into it.
Yeah.
And
it's very funny where we sort of overlap and where we don't. Like, Pete and I agree a lot of the same things on writing. Don and I agree a lot of the same things on gaming. Aaron and I agree a lot of the same things on sort of techie sort of gadget stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's where we overlap. But other way, I'm like...
It's like a big game of diplomacy.
Right.
Like, alliances just keep breaking
everything. It's like, have you played diplomacy?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we get in these... And we're good about arguing. Like, we get heated, and then afterwards, no one's, like, you know, upset or anything. Yeah. So... But I have heard people like, oh my God, was everything okay after the podcast? And I go, what do you mean? Which one?
Yeah, we don't even remember.
Yeah, which one are you talking about? The one I could hear, like, Don get pissed off and said, yelled at Peter, and I've never heard him yell at Peter before. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't remember that.
Sure.
Now, when it comes down to the podcast, you guys have brought some relatively big guests onto the show.
Yeah.
You've had Josh Whedon was one that literally, I think... brought you guys, like, that was, like...
Josh, but we had had George R. R. Martin before.
Yeah, that's right.
Orson Scott Card. Yeah,
was our Scott Card.
Bust out for us.
Yeah.
But Josh was actually a really fun one because, you know, these guys get interviewed all the time.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I think it was...
Yeah, Josh gave us our... Yeah.
Josh was our first one where we started the new format.
Yeah, we started a new format, which is basically...
Through Josh.
Yeah. Come on, and we're not going to ask you a bunch of questions. We're just going to have a conversation, like, one of our geeky conversations on a topic of your choice.
Yeah. So, like, Josh Whedon comes on our show, and we talk about the role of artificial intelligence in society,
right?
And what directions
allowing him to be a geek with the rest of you guys?
Yeah,
right. And well, that's easy.
I heard that. Yeah,
slip. Yeah. You almost said artificial insemination.
I don't know where my brain is tonight.
Are you talking about Dark Seed?
Nice. Well done.
Thank you, sir.
Two geek points.
Thank you.
I'll punch your card before
plus
you
one.
Leave.
Plus one.
By the way, I still when I brought that up as a good format, you guys thought I was nuts.
we're all early adopters, but Aaron's an early
adopter. Yeah,
he's way ahead of the curve.
And we is this man waiting in line for iPhone 4?
Aaron, I'm waking up in the morning.
Yeah, and we always think Aaron is nuts until somebody else says his idea. A few weeks later, and they were like, "Oh yeah, that's a great idea." Yeah,
what's that old? It was an old
Saturday Night Live skit or something.
It was our Saturday morning, not cartoon, live action with the buggy that turned into a live car and could lasso people.
Dune buggy.
Yeah, a little dune buggy. Speed buggy, maybe, and have the little group of hippie kids. Beach kids.
I have no idea.
Oh, and it was one of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Like with the shark.
He was in the Hanna-Barbera Olympics show.
Like, yeah.
Right. Well, there was like a woman character in there who would always like come up with a suggestion, and everyone would ignore and say it was stupid. Then another character would come up with the exact same suggestion. And like, that's a great idea.
You're her.
Oh my god.
By the way, that's my entire childhood. Like me making a joke, right, and everybody, no one hearing me, and someone making the exact same joke 2 minutes later, and everyone laughing and being like, "What? Why? Why?"
People suck. Yeah.
But so, what made you guys actually decide? Like, we can do a podcast. We can build it. We can
like
make
I said,
it.
Aaron, early adopter. Aaron came and said, "We're gonna do this thing called this podcast."
Yeah. And there are only about four of them.
Yeah.
Right now.
It was 2005.
Yeah.
Like, people didn't know what podcasts were at that point.
Yeah, there was like 400 of them, really, but a lot of them were just one. Like, they did one episode, and they never did any again. Mm-hmm. And I had just started listening to Leo Laporte, who I knew who he was, had just put a podcast on. And so I was like, wow, you can just, it's like TiVo, that you can just listen to the show whenever you want to. This is a great idea. And back then you had to do your own RSS podcast feed. And Tim Curry, was trying.
MTV VJ.
He was trying to teach people. And it was
Adam
just
Curry.
Adam Curry. Yeah, sorry. Who did I say? Tim.
SSP transvestite.
Sorry, Adam.
What is light without darkness?
Yeah.
He's doing artificial insemination.
He does not necessarily mean incredible recollection.
Yes, exactly. As our fans know.
Sorry, Adam Curry. And anyway, so I figured it out, and then we sat down with... The first episode is just a really crappy... iPhone!
Yeah.
It was the iPhone with that little iRiver hookup thing. We sat in the middle of the room, and we all just... We're like 4 inches away, huddled around this thing.
That's right. Yeah. Oh my god, I forgot about that.
And trying to get because we didn't know.
I forgot about it. I don't even remember that.
We just didn't. I didn't want to invest in anything.
Yeah,
that,
right.
In case we didn't.
Honestly,
like it.
I thought we were going to do like 3 podcasts, and that was going to be it. I thought we were going to be like, this is way too much work, and here we are, like over 100 episodes. We're like 100 and
we're 125,
27
actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, and. And then most of the podcasts that came out around the same time we did, they're almost all gone. And now there's all these, of course, professional ones. But when we came out, we were like, everybody was kind of doing it like we were. It was just a couple people huddled around a microphone, and that was it.
And we're still a couple people huddled around a microphone, which is good.
Yeah.
Going for warmth.
Exactly.
Keeps us honest. Exactly.
So
we get around. We get to go to Comic-Cons.
Yeah,
and
we get to, now we're official press, and,
most of these places we go are actually closed to podcasts now, but we've been grandfathered in because we've been going for so long.
Right. Yeah. But, it's actually been kind of amazing. We get sort of 3 different types of fan mail. We get, the first fan mail is, I'm a geek, and thank God that there's other geeks like me out there.
I didn't
realize. And it shows me I can own my geekdom.
It's amazing how many geeks feel cut off from a geek community.
Yeah.
I never realized how lucky we were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the second type is I never knew I was a geek. I mean, I loved board gaming, and I loved video gaming, and I loved movies, and I loved all these... But I didn't know I was a geek.
I was always like, I love playing Dungeons & Dragons and making them out of, pieces of wood on my spare time.
It's not geeky if you keep it out in the public.
and it was always like, how did you... I mean, we get a lot of those, which is really interesting. And then the third one, we actually got one that was like really moving, which was...
got a few of those.
Yeah, kind of like, you saved me.
Right.
And, like, there was one guy who basically said, you know, my wife passed away recently, and you know, you were what I was listening to when I was in the hospital. And it's like, you're like, ugh! Yeah, you're like, wow. Yeah. You know,
we got an email from a kid that admitted he was considering committing suicide because he felt so lonely. Mm-hmm. And just, like, there was no one like him. And he found our podcast, and he sends us an email saying, "And tonight I am driving half an hour to meet with a group of friends that I game with now."
Yeah, really.
And God, wow. I need to get the new episode out.
God, we can't stop.
Exactly. Just put him to this one.
Well, then we get the people like, I listened to all 4 years in one sitting, and we're like, oh my God,
how do you do that? Yeah, there was a woman who drove
miles, across the country,
across the country, or something like that.
No, I didn't read that.
Just did the whole set of everything we had.
I mean, we say it with amazement in our voices, but I mean, we're sort of honored by it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that's a huge
kind of awesome.
Yeah, the only thing in our mail that makes me uncomfortable, and I will say, is that we don't claim it, but people call us, you know, "Hail Geek Overlords." We'll get letters that say that, or
benevolent
Hail,
dictator.
Yeah, "Hail Geek Emperors," and
often these are from email from people that know a crapload more about the subject they're writing
than
we do, right?
And I'm always like, why? We the geek? Do we say that?
How does that come up? Well,
and it's happened like every other mail that we get says that, and it's like,
you're the one with the bullhorn, so you're the leader.
It's just a weird title that it comes out of, because we don't. I don't think we've ever said we're the geek. Yeah, you know, we are the geek overlords. Yes, it's just funny that phrase comes up a lot, and it's like, where does that phrase come from?
I don't think it ever occurred to me until you said it. But
it didn't occur to me either until he just said it.
You're right. It's all the wow.
So wait. You're saying that out of the diaspora, the word overlord is
geek
used
overlord.
For some reason, people don't ever say overlord on this podcast. Yeah. This is the first time he's ever mentioned that.
Well, we'll get an email and say, "Greetings, geek overlords. I just want to say,
weird." Yeah, you know, and I sort through all the mail, and like I look at it, and I'm like, wow. I don't want to be.
Well, I think one thing
it's a sound like village.
From the four winds you come.
I think, you know, one thing that we talk about a lot is, you know, we'll try to mix up our topics into so that we're not always talking about video games all the time. And so I think, you know, when people listen, they feel like that we're broad, and some that, you know, a lot of people who only like board games might go, well, damn.
We are pretty much all generalists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're a little, Peter's
except
more
Peter's
specific
got like,
to a, writing.
Like, at more board games than I've seen ever.
Oh.
No. Aaron's, because I have a fraction. Aaron has a closet.
That's nothing.
A walk-in closet. Yeah.
That is nothing.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That is nothing.
That's like two shelves.
That's more
crazy
board games than you've ever seen.
Well, I mean, I've seen more like at like conventions. I have not seen.
Aaron is a convention.
No, you don't understand.
Yes.
I've got
maybe 20 games up there, right?
Let's describe this for the viewership. This is about maybe 2 feet tall by 3 feet wide by 2 feet back in board games. And they're like, maybe, let's see, just from seeing in the front, I see like 26 just in the front alone.
Right.
Okay.
Aaron probably has 120, something like
that. I have
that.
100,
200. No. That's up overlord.
I have about 200.
Yeah.
We're talking walk-in
card games and
stuff. We're not joking when we say walk-in closet. And like, this is just a bunch of stuff shoved in there. I'm talking about you walk into his closet and it's all like organized.
It's organized. I wouldn't say my closet's organized. But...
Compared to that, it is.
Yeah. No, I definitely am a... I have a problem with it.
We all have,
but everybody's got something like that.
We all have good, like, general geek knowledge, and we have like specific stuff that we kind of focus on.
Yeah,
you know, Matt is an actor and a writer.
Movie.
You know, I'm a writer. Aaron is a director. You know, Don is a video game designer. So we cover very big, you know, area in terms of the creative side of things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have like kind of our general knowledge, and then there's things that we're not quite as like specific. You know,
which is hilarious. It's the things that we like were really into as a kid and haven't touched in a while.
Quantum physics.
And those are always the way. Yeah,
well, exactly. Comics.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever we talk about anime, all of a sudden it's the 70s again.
Yes, exactly. Wow. I'm talking about Voltron and Robotech.
It's hard to keep up with all this stuff because listen.
You have to live your life.
Well, luckily though, we have a broad base of listeners.
Exactly.
And we do manage to bring in people every once in a while. Like, now we have regular installments by different, we have John Wick. mm-hmm. who's a game comes designer. In,
brilliant game designer. We have Smarty Librarian, Kara, who yeah. comes in and knocks it out of the park on what books to read. We're going to have a new contributor named Josh Pelton, who's who's going to be doing what's called the calculator. And he's got he'll calculate anything, yeah. anything.
It's like if your stats are this high, you must do this.
No, he's gonna start with brain. He's like, gonna start with how much wood could a woodchuck chuck. That's where he's starting.
Hey, we're talking about geeky, obscure, bizarre things that no yeah, one should yeah. be calculating.
Yeah, but fun.
You know, but that's the point of science is to figure out the mathematical proof.
Oh, it's
that's
it's
the thing that I think surprises new listeners to our show and non geeks is when I think the key. To making something enjoyable is enjoying what you're doing.
Right.
And so, like, when we talk about a subject, we only take subjects that at least two of us are interested in. That tends to just, it lights up the room because yeah, we get excited fun. About it.
Yeah. We love each other and we love what we talk about.
Yeah.
You know, and it you know,
yeah.
I think a lot of people,
I think plays.
They get that.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, as a, My podcast is focused on science, technology, and internet geek culture, essentially. Or just internet culture memes and things like that. Just viral stuff. Being that science and technology, it's this kind of mirroring situation, art imitating life, imitating art, imitating life.
Right.
As geeks, what has been your view about technology? Do you, your fan base? I mean, you live near Caltech, which is, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, here in sunny California, Los Angeles, Pasadena area. Have you had any of those people come directly to you and say, you know, how, science fiction has affected them?
I tried to get JPL on the show, like, four times. And I eventually found one guy who would do it. And then we ended up in a scheduling kerfuffle. But
I think I'd like to get more. I'd like to even hit some of the universities around here. And when we have a subject that we're not great at, is invite them to join us.
We should, a lawyer
we should,
now.
We should do... What's that?
We have a lawyer now who's willing to contribute.
Because
we get into legal discussions, on the show where we absolutely talking out of
IP
our
law.
Ass.
IP law alone with science. Like, a friend of mine is the managing person for, or a former high school classmate of mine, is the managing person in charge of the IP property of Herbert. So, all the Dune series. Like, she didn't read Dune before, but now she's like, I never knew a geek title like this could make this much money. And she's in charge of it for the publisher now, and she's like, I never understood. My God, it's full of stars.
I think a lot of people are starting to realize that geekiness, there's a lot of money in being
there's
geek.
There's a lot of money.
And you were saying before, you're saying that, like, it's we're in a different era than when we grew up. And one of the stories we talk about, and you probably heard it on one of our casts before is I was down at a farmer's market once and there's this little girl there that's kind of talking to her mom and just talking about like video games and stuff, all sorts of stuff, and her mom turns to her and goes, you are weird, you are so weird. And she goes, Mom, weird is really cool now. You know, and it's
best comeback ever.
Yeah, and it's true. It's like, I look at like all the kids growing up and it's like, it's different. It's a
they're
different
the ones who seem to be doing best now. Weird ones in
did
our
you smack that mom?
I thought, oh, yeah.
To the weird one. She made computers out of Legos, now owning Google.
It's true.
Pretty much.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
The other thing, I've mentioned this in the past, and I mention it every once in a while on Geeks On. Mm-hmm. And hopefully people who listen to this type of interview goes on to, maybe we can promote this. I really feel like if... that contributing to the world around me is important to me. Like, I like making things and then putting it on the internet.
Yeah.
And I like making things and inviting my friends over.
Well, you're amazing at that, though. I mean, because you have a tremendous skill set and like...
But I like it when everybody does that.
Right, but you contributed to Steve Jackson Games just because you liked it. Because you didn't like the design they did on their cards, and they turned their cards into what you designed.
Yeah, but...
I mean, that's an extreme case, my friend, because you're like, very good at what you do.
Yeah, you guys don't do it right. Here's how you do it.
And that's exactly what he did, and they were like, well, yes, he's right, isn't he?
Well, no, but I'm just saying that, what I love that a lot of geeks do, and I hope that more and more geeks do this because I benefit from it, is that, I like it, like, we generate a podcast and we share it for free for people, and that's what we give. It's something that hopefully some people find entertaining, and you do the same type of thing. And I encourage people to find something that they're at least partly good at, podcasting or making map designs or, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, when everybody does that, and we are all, you know, if we're not only consumers, but we're all giving a little bit, then our geek community gets pretty freaking awesome. And that's how we get all these great maps to play in video games, all these scenarios and netbooks for all our role-playing games.
That is how we pass it on to the next generation.
And it's just so remarkable that the sort of universal brain of the internet right now. I'm just thinking in terms of solving alternate reality games. You know, it just blows me away, you know, if they do 16th century loot tablature and it's solved in an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you have... You
have that reference now in the most recent Stargate, you know, series. That Stargate, brain's freezing up on me.
Universe.
Thank you. Stargate Universe. Like, the entire how to solve this new gate that has 11, you know, chevrons was solved by an in-game puzzle in this online game, which was an inside joke because it's like... Stargate Online, but it's supposed to be it's a game that they made to cover up the real Stargate,
right,
so they could solve this puzzle. And you're having that idea of, like, you know, the internet is where you go to do groupthink.
Right, but I'm just wondering lately, like, why we aren't using it on bigger problems. I mean, I'm looking at the oil spill right now and going, why don't we have a big, like, Reddit for the oil spill where people can promote ideas that
there are. It actually exists. The problem is most of the, like, a lot of these ideas are not profitable to anyone. So until someone can figure out a way to make money off of it, it won't happen.
Yeah, like the oil thing, they can cap it. They just want to keep pumping oil out while it's stopped the leak. That's the big thing. Like, a lot of people realize, wait a minute, you're not capping it. You're trying to get oil out but that's come out because people are forcing the issue.
Right.
I mean, you are having geeks being like, you done bad.
Exactly. But there's, you know, it's great to have that many brains. In fact, you know, I don't know if you all remember that the code for the Zodiac Killer was cracked by a man and a woman, an older couple, who used to do crossword puzzles every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The secret messages that the Zodiac was leaving, no one could read them. So they published them in the Sunday paper, and the couple cracked them.
Right.
Contact the FBI the FBI and told them how to solve it.
Oh, the Enigma codes in Germany were cracked by a bunch of geeks
The Enigma codes were cracked because they stole one of the Enigma devices.
Right. Yes, but
cracked.
But specifically, the people who were at I can't remember the name of the British place, but it was a bunch of mathematicians and crossword puzzle experts and like that, and that they were constantly breaking codes. They broke the Japanese code, and they
The Enigma machine, exactly, was done because they had the machine, but other codes were done through computers.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Groupthink.
It is amazing, you know, the concept that now that we are all connected, you know, if we can just harness that ability to bring people together, what can we do with it?
Well, I think one of the things that makes it function so well is it allows groupthink without anyone ever feeling they're being subsumed by the groupthink.
Well, I think
completely individualistic while contributing to the gestalt, which is just awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. The one thing, though, as geeks...
That's what you know.
We have two basic viewpoints of the future. One is a positive utopia,
right?
You know, our Star Treks, you know, where we've given up worldly possessions because we want to, you know, help expand our thought processes.
Liberal.
Fine, you. And the other one is dystopian, our, you know, Utani Whalen, you know, corporations.
Right.
Taking over and basically... patenting genes. Monsanto, for example, is a modern day example of this with, you know, soybeans.
Rapid libertarianism.
To me, I kind of see it as a combination between the two, to be honest. I mean, I see it sort of more like a yin-yang, you know, which is to say that, you know, there's two different forces in our world, and they're constantly at war, and it's just the way it's always going to be, and there's going to be benefits and flaws to any form of evolution. So,
I think it should be that way. You know,
right.
I think...
Utopia is just too nice, too pretty.
We need our pain.
Go back to Tim Curry, what is light without darkness?
Exactly. I mean, to use the time machine, who wants to be the Eloy?
Right.
You know, when everything is wonderful, you cease to grow.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, I think that's
probably why the universe is the way it is.
I forget, who was the one who made the quote that only... Oh, wait. Tyler Durden. It's only through disaster that you finally understand who you are. You know, Fight Club thing.
Or Gary Oldman in Aaron's favorite movie, Fifth Element.
You're going to quote Fifth Element?
Yes. Only through destruction, where he knocks the glass off the table and says, only through destruction. He says, look at all these jobs that are created by me destroying this one little glass.
Yeah.
You don't remember that?
I remember that.
You're just upset with me because I quoted the Fifth Element?
No, I'm actually very happy with
you. Okay, good.
I'm pro Fifth Element. Yeah.
Multipass. I use that all the time now.
Multipass.
It's like, I had my press badge for E3 and it's like, multipass, and literally everyone in the room just starts laughing.
That's how you get in.
Exactly.
Crack a geek joke, and when they're laughing, you slip in.
Press badge. I was like, multipass.
Excellent.
But when it comes down to it, like, you guys have now become, you're getting around, 100-some thousand viewers and listeners? I've heard, other people I mentioned Geeks On, and they're like, isn't one of the guys, I've heard your name called out, isn't Aaron Hendricks? And, someone else
will
be like...
People call out my name often.
But usually preceded by you.
Some of them are women.
But, people, when I mentioned, people know
your names.
We're known.
Yeah.
We're not. Well, look, here's the thing. We do this for fun.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we don't really do it. We're not selling ads. We're not doing any of that stuff.
We don't promote.
We don't really promote it. So, we're kind of one of the great granddaddies of podcasts, but I don't think we're
No, we're not in the top 10 by any sense of the imagination.
No.
But that said, we're casting this out into the world. Our gift to geeks everywhere, mm-hmm. right? And it is really nice. We had Aaron's sister on the show at one point, who played Saffron on Firefly.
Yes.
A Thousand Geeks Scream, right? and she told us she went to England to attend one of those conventions.
Firefly convention.
Firefly convention. And a bunch of English listeners come up to her and goes, "We heard you on Geeks On. You were awesome." how weird is that? Of all the things she's done, mm-hmm. you're going to talk about Geeks On.
Right.
I got picked out in a comic book store once upon a time by someone who recognized my voice from the podcast.
Yeah. I got, about 2 months ago, I was at the game store over at the Last Grenadier, and someone was like, "Aaron?" I go, "Hey!" Because I figured I should know. "Hey!" I listened to your episode, I go, "Thank God, I thought I was supposed to like
you."
You? And then we were at the movies. I don't think maybe you were there. And there was a guy who saw us at the ArcLight over.
I wasn't there for that one.
Yeah.
You know, but it's
it's off.
But it's awesome. I love that. I love the fact that last year we got invited to go to VCon in Vancouver and talk about podcasting. With a big group of brilliant geeks.
Yeah.
It's fun to be able to just be ourselves and do the thing that we really want to do, not worry about promoting it, just because it's our way of getting it out of our system, and then have people enjoy it, and then, we get paid every time someone sends us an email or comes up and says, "Hey guys, that was great," because that's, it's good for our ego.
It's
feels good.
Yeah. And it's not just the back padding. Mm-hmm. It's not just the backpacking, it's the fact that it has actually sort of opened a door between us and a lot of people that we wouldn't have had the chance to talk with otherwise.
And we learn a lot.
Each of our fans contributes to us, in a brilliant, awesome sort of way.
Yeah.
Think about the podcast we just did where we talked about E3. Mm-hmm. I learned a ton just from that conversation. There's a lot of the stuff that you start thinking about this is where they're at now, where are they going to be in the future, what's going to be, what's way down the line.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's...
Because you're forcing yourself to sit in a line of questioning.
And we've also gotten things out where we've had to edit them out because we actually think they're a really good idea and we want to write about them.
And you're
we get things out of our system, we're like, "That's a freaking great idea, cut that, let's just write about it," this is what we do to have fun, and I just am happy that people enjoy it.
Yeah.
Now, with doing the podcast, particular, was it was it the need that you wanted to speak because you wanted to be proselytizing the way of geekdom, or was it kind of like it was just you just
it was just us.
This is what we would be doing if anyway. There was no microphone in front of us.
Yeah. And I think that's what draws people. I think that's what keeps people as. In fact, people come up and talk to us as if we're like good friends. Mm-hmm. They feel like they're sitting in the room and having a chit chat with us because that's the way we are talking to each other.
That's why people scream at the radio. It's something we love, but it's also something occasionally that's a little creepy because it's
our own damn fault.
They've listened to 125 episodes with us.
They know us,
and they know that like Matt just had a kid. Right. Tracy, my wife's pregnant.
You're on Dr. Phil.
Yeah, like all these crazy things. And people, it's like we go out to we occasionally have get-togethers where we meet people, mm-hmm. but like they know us. Mm-hmm. We're meeting them, but they know us.
Right.
And it takes them a moment to realize, oh my gosh, you don't know me. You know, and it's interesting.
And it's also that we have that kind of shooting the shit type of vibe.
Yes.
And that they've just been in on the conversation.
Yeah.
And in fact, I get all the time, even people, who've moved away from us, who have friends who keep listening to us, and they'll listen to a podcast, and then I get a phone call. Have you guys thought about, and they want to continue the conversation? I'm like, right. Well, we recorded that last week.
Right, exactly. That one was 2 months ago. I'm not sure what you're talking about. You have to refresh me.
Yeah. Context, please. Because
they want to be in the conversation still. Mm-hmm. They're in on the conversation, so they pick up the phone and they start yelling at me about. Something I said, I'm like, I don't know what we're talking about.
You're an asshole, Aaron, for saying this.
And that's the other thing that I find fascinating. Like, people we've never met feel perfectly fine sending us an email to tell us, like, why we are such bloody idiots. I love that.
It's the Japanese way. The head that, the nail that stands up is going to get hammered down kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes they're absolutely right.
Yeah. But that's good.
I referenced the James Bond episode.
Oh, God.
You have no right doing this episode because obviously you've never watched a James Bond.
Little did we know, we did not know James Bond at all.
The thing is, we grew up watching James Bond, but we haven't watched a lot of
it. Incidental! It's like sort of we're not Bond geeks.
Right.
I think I'm kind of a Bond geek.
Yeah.
Did you read all the original Fleming books?
Not all of them.
I read some of the Gardner books even.
The other thing is it gives us a creative outlet. Like, we have a little column called Dear Demon Lord.
Demon Lord.
Which is very fun. The Demon Lord might say something.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So it's fun to have, like...
It works better against the microphone and some modulation.
But it gives us... We'll do that, or we'll do, like, a techno babble, or we'll just come up with something that's fun to do. And
limericks, haiku.
Haiku, geek punchlines.
Yeah, we've come
up with a lot of punchlines. We have to do that again.
Yeah. We do techno babble, because it's one of our favorite things.
And then, to explain to the audience who might not know this, the techno babble is...
It's basically whenever Star Trek decided to solve something with absolutely dissociative technology... That's a tachyon.
Lazy right now.
If we just reverse the polarity, it'll solve all our problems.
Right. And so we do that.
If we should just put that polarity on a switch.
We all have a problem that has to be solved with technobabble, and we all write our own version of what that technobabble solution would be, in kind of short story form, and then we read it.
Yes.
So if there was one thing particularly about the geek culture that you wanted to say, your own critique about it, just quickly to close up the episode... Within a sentence, few words as possible, what would you say, Aaron?
About the geek culture?
Geek culture.
Like, they shouldn't do this, or this drives me crazy about them?
Positive, negative?
Yeah, I'll throw something out there. Sure. Listen, I think that it's okay to critique geek culture. I think when you're a geek, it's okay to critique things, but you got to critique with love.
Yeah.
Occasionally, people in the geek culture have been so kind of beaten up by other people that... Then it's when it's their turn. They don't recognize they're doing the same thing to other people.
Splinter in someone else's eye when you do not.
You're clearly a fucking idiot.
Geek culture is the abused child syndrome.
Sometimes, yeah. Okay.
I think that's an internet problem, but
you don't. It's not. It's just a small fraction of it. But there's certainly that sort of flame wars thing. Do it with love.
Okay.
Do Matt? It with love.
I haven't gotten mine yet.
Okay. I'd say I've been accused of being a geek grenade. I say spread the geek.
Yeah.
I do things like have game days where I invite friends that don't play board games, and we round them all up, and we sit down and start teaching them, like, decent games that a la not Monopoly. And there's a whole group of my friends now who email me and ask me when the next game day is. And these are people who've never played anything but Parcheesi. And they love them. They're even buying them.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I think it's cool.
Dominion is spread like the plague.
Yeah, exactly.
Don?
Ah. Your love of a subject does not equal ownership.
That's good.
As someone who feels passionately about things I love and who is very opinionated that my ideas are the best, I can occasionally be offended by the way, you know, the writers of my favorite show may portray characters or drive their plots. And it's okay for me to be offended. Mm. And it's okay for me to have opinions. But it's not okay for me just to attack the actual creation that's put in front of the world.
So, what about Star Wars? With a gun.
Exactly. You know, it's sort of a throwback to what Peter said, critique with love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's easy to destroy, it's hard to create, mm-hmm. and it's very hard to take a risk and put your creation in front of the world.
Yeah.
And I to sort of piggyback on that, I'll say, you know, we had an episode about geek bullying, and I will say that geek bullying is still bullying. And, you know, just because you notice that you're smarter than the person who's talking in front of you does not mean that their opinion is not valid, and it does not mean that just because they're not expressing it in the way that might not be clear to you, that you should stomp all over it. And that is something which I notice even in our own boards, where people will you know, they'll take, oh, well, that's dumb, and they'll crush it. And it's like, let it talk, because something might come out of that.
Well, yeah, there's that myth, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
True.
The truth of the matter is that most of the people I know who've been hurt by things have been hurt more by words than, you know, the other stuff.
Not saying that
100%, you know, but most people.
Don crushing my knees.
Let me spin this to just a positive final thought.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're cautioning people on the way to communicate now. The one lesson I hope people do take from our podcast is share your passion.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the gift that geeks give to everybody.
Yeah.
It's the enthusiasm. Like, we're in our mid-30s here. Early 30s for some of us.
Don's actually aging backwards.
I am. I was older than Matt when we met. Now I'm like 5 years younger.
Yes. So he'll be younger than me soon?
Absolutely. Okay. It's crazy.
Does that. Samoans.
That is the gift that geeks bring. You know, to be able to still be passionate about things that other people might be consider trivial at this advanced age in life, and to be able to share that.
Yeah, you don't show up to a movie with rubber ears on and a staff if you're not super excited about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you hide that,
stay excited.
If you hide that for the sake of feeling safe. You know, for the sake of protecting yourself, all you're doing is not living your enthusiasm, and you're keeping that enthusiasm from the world.
Yep.
And giving other people the chance to share it.
Get out of that geek closet, unless your board games,
in fact,
fall across the floor.
Here, one more thing. You know that you got to find people who make you feel safe to do that.
Yeah,
you got to find people like yourself.
Dig,
you know,
and they're out there.
Yeah.
So I'd like to thank you guys for being on the show.
Happy to do it.
Where can we find more podcasts for Geeks On?
www.geeksOn.com, or you can send us emails at Matt, Aaron, Don, or Peter at geeksOn.com.
Or just geeks at geeksOn.com.
Yep.
Yep, and you go there. We have forums where everyone argues and discusses and contributes, and it's pretty fun. And we read emails on our show every once in a while. So you all help us out when you contribute. And we look forward to it.
This has been Patrick Barnhouse from the Planet Podcast. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the guys from Geeks On for being great guests.
Bye, everybody.
Have a great geek week.
Geek it out.
Bye.
Whatever.